Welcome to Bravo Breakdowns, your podcast study guide for reality TV. Every Thursday, we cover an entire season of brawling, boozing, and romance, and skip all the boring parts where everyone is getting along. Whether you've never seen an episode or you're a Bravo scholar, we're here to break it down for you.
These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo Breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo Breakdown.
I just thought you had the one.
No, Cam's mom, she was selling her house, and so she gave us her dog, Stella, her tab dog.
Yeah.
Always, like, twitching.
I didn't know about Stella, but I didn't know that she was, like, permanently part of your home now.
She is, and she is such a diva. Whenever we leave the house, she is, like, so furious at us. She's like, has like a mental breakdown, like, how dare you abandon me?
Oh, like, wow.
Hides from us because she's so pissed. She's volatile. A volatile dog.
I don't appreciate animals that have personalities, honestly. Like, I
really?
No, I don't want them to. Like, I want you to, like, you know, just cuddle when I'm ready. Like, I want to be able to pet you when I need it. Like, you're here for me to relax and have, like, stress relief. Like, I'm not here to, like, deal with your, like, antics. Okay.
Oh, see, I love dog shenanigans. I love, like, them being entertaining. Both my dogs are very codependent, but to the point where it's really, like, about me comforting them and not them comforting me. And I just love a helpless creature that I can give all of my energy to.
I guess I just demand more out of my animals. That's probably why my one, like, the one dog we have is, like, absolutely totally insane. She's so fucked up. She, like, shakes all the time. Like, if she's obsessed with Jason, probably because it's my view on dogs. But she, like, when he, like, just goes to the bathroom, like, if we're, he's sitting on the couch and then he goes to the bathroom, like, she will, like, stare at the bathroom door until he comes out. Like, it's crazy.
That's like Stella, too. Even though, like, I feed her, I, like, really try to get her to, like, I give her, like, dog massages. Like,
oh,
I'm trying so hard. But, like, honestly, I think some girl dogs are a little bit pick-me's, I've got to say.
Is she a Chihuahua?
Yeah, she's mostly Chihuahua. They're both like mutts, but yeah,
same with Addie. But I'm over it. It's like, relax, sweetie. Okay,
yeah, take a chill pill.
Seriously, I've got several.
Okay, well, now that we've said our piece, it's time to get into it. I feel better too. We're starting on a clean slate with this fabulous season of TV. Good morning, students. This week we are covering season one.
Good day, mates.
Good day, mates. We are covering season one of The Traitors Australia, which is one of my favorite seasons. It might be my favorite season of The Traitors, I must confess. And we have a very special guest to talk about it all. My favorite player on The Traitors, the infamous, the international man of mystery, Paul McNeil. Now, if you've watched the season, probably one of your biggest takeaways was at the very end, like the 10th episode, suddenly there was a guy named Paul who was there
at the round table and at banishment. And you're like, wait, who is this person?
Wait, what? And it's because, well, we'll get into why. There was a lot of mystery around it. Like, what, was he canceled? Did he do something bad? What happened? He is an angel, as you will hear. And you will hear the hilarious reasons for his edit. But he brought a lot of light and levity to the set and in his edit. I think it's hilarious. We always play the Paul game where we're like, Paul, there's Paul, there's Paul. So let's get into what we did see. There's an amazing cast, but they are all regular people. They're just like fabulous
electricians, or we call them
sparkies.
Yeah, Lewis.
But they're all like really smart people. It's the first all civilian season of The Traitors ever globally, because it aired before UK. And I think it was wildly successful. What did you think of this cast, Michelle? Even though you prefer, you know, a celebrity cast, did they still do it for you?
I do love a celebrity, and I'm not going to ever change my opinion on that. They're just better than ordinary people. But I thought these ordinary people really served, and I loved that about them. There are some great personalities. And you know who my favorite is. Chloe.
Yeah, Chloe the psychic is Michelle's favorite, not because she believes in the other side, but because Chloe's personality, apart from her visions, yeah,
I will never apologize for appreciating an unwell woman on TV.
Yes, Chloe tyrannously tried to rein the traitors with her gifts. And when it didn't happen, she got upset. This was held at a hotel in New South Wales, and it's hosted by Roger, who is a handsome middle-aged Australian host who looks like every like model and commercial mm-hmm. actor above 40 at my Texas talent agency. He's just got that handsome strapping yeah. like,
and he's got all the right stuff in the right places, I'd say.
Oh yeah, and like the perfect element of camp where you can tell him like being like, I know that moms and gay guys love looking at my butt mm-hmm. and I love that winkiness.
And also, like, I'm getting kind of annoyed with some of these people.
Obviously, the game is trying to figure out who the traitors are. The traitors meet at night. They decide who to murder. The next day, everyone goes to breakfast, figures out who was murdered. They keep trying to figure out who the traitor was. They do a challenge for some reason. It's boring. It puts silver in the pot, and they're all working together.
I know. But, okay, I will say this about the challenges. I did appreciate that, unlike U.S. traitors, they're not in wetsuits. They're in tracksuits. I like that better.
The red tracksuits that they all wear are iconic. Mm-hmm.
Flattering and fun.
Yeah. And later in the season, they do shield challenges, which in this game give you immunity from banishment and murder, a little twist. And then that night, after the challenges, they go to the round table. They vote out who they think the traitor is. The person voted out leaves immediately. But before they go, they tell them if they are faithful or traitor, so on and so forth. So there's a lot of people in the cast. We'll mm-hmm. tell you about them as they come up. But here are the traitors. Marielle, who is a seventh-year law student. Claire.
Law student.
I know. It's like, how many
laws do they have in Australia?
Yeah, a lot of COVID laws, I know. They're probably pretty stern on the law there, you know, because it used to be, you know, it was originally criminals. So probably they were like, we've got to change this branding. We got to change this attitude.
I heard that she was kind of dumb and just taking a long time to graduate.
Yeah, it's like, it's not her seventh year of college, it's her seventh year of law school. Like, she's taken the bar as many times as the husband on the OC. Anyway, great gal. We've got Claire, who's a checkout chick and a nana and a traitor. We've got Angus, who's a chill surfer dad who looks a lot like Bradley Cooper, and he always looks like he's on the verge of tears. So he's sussed out pretty quickly. And then we've got my favorite traitor, Nigel, who is another, like, mm-hmm. just a whole other echelon, like basically a celebrity in his own right. He's hiding mm-hmm. many secrets because yeah. he's one of Australia's longest held living captives. He was a photojournalist mm-hmm. in Somalia and was kidnapped mm-hmm. with his group in Mogadishu. His family paid a ransom. Hopefully the government helped. Not sure about that. Marielle, tell us if the government helped. And mm-hmm. after over a year, he finally got to come home, and he now works in very high stakes hostage negotiations.
Insane.
Yeah. So this is the group picked as traitors, four traitors. And when Claire is picked, when they're all blindfolded, she goes white as a sheet, everyone says. So there's already a little suspicion on her. That night, the traitors meet in their little hoods. And in Australia, they get like a lounge instead of like,
lounge and little masks. It's very Eyes Wide Shut.
Yeah, I like that kind of more than the Eyes Wide Shut feeling, more than like the dusty, musty layer. Like, it's more, you know.
I like a dusty, Kubrick. Musty.
Oh, well, you do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I'm not a Kubrick. I'm not a Kubrick girl. You know, I'm more of a Michael Bay type.
So they kill a cute girl named Millie. And then the next day at breakfast, everyone's pretty normal, except this one guy, Jack, who's really doing the stink eye at everyone. Mm. He's like a chest of him. He's like staring everyone down. Mm-hmm. And he gets banished that night because there's this whole bizarre thing where this woman, Olivia, who looks similar to Claire from behind, Jack walks up to her, and she claims Jack walks up to her and says, who are we going to murder tonight after a mission? Which, like, if he did, probably a joke, but everyone's mm-hmm. like, oh my gosh, clearly he's a traitor. He thought you were Claire. And that was him, you know, like admitting he's a traitor. And that's why he's like staring everyone down all the time. So they vote him out, and he's like, well, I never said that, and I am a faithful. Do you think this really happened, or was Olivia bluffing? We really never get an answer on this.
Maybe Olivia was bluffing.
Yeah.
It's hard to say. It's hard to say.
This does establish the motif. If you make any kind of joke about, like, ha ha, and I'm a traitor, right?
Yeah,
everyone's going to think you're a traitor. Oh, cool.
They're telling me the truth. What?
Yes,
why would
yes,
they just tell you
it.
That? Yeah.
Yeah.
He admitted it. Okay.
Oh my God. He admitted. The traitors meet up that night. There's hot girl going hard at the banishment table. She's running the room. The traitors are really good at sussing out who is like really
hot.
Aggressive
oh,
and hot.
Okay.
Yes, yeah. And hot. They are just really smart in their choices who to murder. Because like if you're a good faithful, you go home pretty quick in this
mm-hmm.
game. So then the next day, Inke, who is this lawyer figure slash actor, like everyone, when like people come in, they thought he was the host at first because he has a very presentational way of speaking.
Yeah.
And he says, excuse me, everyone. Like everyone walks into breakfast and just sits down like, hi, what's up? And he comes in and like gives his closing speech. And he's like, excuse me, everyone. I want everyone to know I am a faithful and we are here to look for the traitors. But I am a faithful, not a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
Real Johnny Cochran type.
Yeah, the glove doesn't fit. You must acquit. Traitor.
Yes, traitor. And yeah, he just keeps making speeches. And so it's just too weird. They vote him out.
Yeah, get him out of here just because he's annoying.
So the next day, Mitty is a really smart faithful.
Mm-hmm.
He has his eyes on Angus, probably because Angus's eyes look like they're always filled with tears.
Watering, yeah.
There's
also seasonal allergies. So.
That's true. Yeah, I wonder if Australia is bad for pollen.
Got all the outback and like, I don't know, like, there could be a platypus about he's allergic
yes.
to.
Yes, platypus dander, a famous allergy. There's also a psychic who we talked about, Chloe, and she's
ooh.
Like, my spirits have already told me who the traitors
the
are.
Told me.
And like,
oh my, and the hair.
Perm. We love a perm on TV.
We love a perm on a crazy woman. She is, who is that like in Harry Potter, the teacher with the thick glasses?
Yes. Emma Thompson.
Yeah.
No, it's a professor, the herbology teacher.
Yeah, yeah. That's who Chloe is.
Yes. And she's like, my spirits have already told me who the traitors are.
You're in grave danger.
She's like, kind of, she's been doing this a lot and like, kind of like waiting for people to be like, who is it? And like, kind of, no one's doing that. It's just like, kind of quiet.
Yeah. Oh my God. Finally,
people are like, hey, okay, Chloe, like, you. Yeah, okay, tell us. Sure, you're always saying it. Like,
mm-hmm.
are you going to play or what?
Mm-hmm.
At the
mm-hmm.
banishment table, they're like, you know, just say it. Like, you're
mm-hmm.
everyone else is speculating, and you're like, I know, but I don't want to put a target on myself. But, you know, I know all of them. And so at the banishment table, she's like, I don't feel safe. I'm not going to say it. And then finally, she's like, the traitors are Cash, Teresa, Angus, and Marielle.
Whoa.
Which is actually half right, but like statistically, if anyone got to guess four people, the odds are they probably would be right about half, just
mm-hmm.
accidentally. But she is so sure she's right that she dramatically raises her hand and says, "Can I leave, please?"
Mm-hmm.
And everyone's like, "For like forever or like right now?"
Yeah,
or,
yeah please, yes, you don't have to ask. Go, Chloe.
Yes,
wherever
go,
the spirits
go.
Are guiding you to, go there.
And she basically just leaves because everyone didn't treat her like Alison Dubois, the
famous vape smoker from Housewives.
Vape smoking psychics, whose predictions also mostly came true.
Very true.
So then they still do a vote after that, pretty brutal. They vote out Cash, another faithful who is one of the traitors that the spirit guide told Chloe about. So they're like, okay, Chloe's not right about everything, but Mitty is super smart. He's still like, even though psychics are BS, I do think she was picking up stuff on
mm-hmm.
body language and micro expressions.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still after Marielle and Angus.
Mm-hmm.
So the traitors murder Mitty that night.
Mm-hmm.
RAP. He was super smart.
Mm-hmm.
So many good faithfuls voted out early in the game. This is just such a strong season.
Mm-hmm.
And Mark is another smart faithful. He's still on Angus, and he's also still on Claire. And so then they do the challenge. After the challenge, there's a new addition to the game, a shield challenge.
Ooh.
This This was really smart the way they did the shield challenge this season too. It actually helped the plot. Like if you get the shield in the season, it protects you from murder and banishment. Mm-hmm. So both traitors and faithful have a real incentive for it, other than like, you know, the traitors try to get the shield when it just protects from murder, just so they know who to murder. But it's like everyone has a real like desire for the shield. It keeps you very safe. Mm-hmm. And so Roger announces this and he reveals the shield is in the middle of the lake. Anyone who wants it, come and get it. So Marielle, Claire, Angus, Nigel, and then like a couple of other faces, like Paul, because Paul just has the heart of a lion. They all jump in and go for it. Nigel, who is a beast at challenges, he gets there right before Surfer Dad Angus. And then Angus is frustrated because like he's the one who needs it more. He's the one who has suspicion on him. And he dunks Nigel in the lake. Which, how did you feel watching this? Like the other faithful don't know about Nigel's like past, mm-hmm. like his traumatic past. But I was so worried for him because I was PTSD. Like, I hope he's not. Yeah, like
triggered.
Yeah.
Oh. He seemed. If he was triggered, he's very good at hiding it. Like he's done a lot of work, clearly.
Yes. To even be able to play a game like this, like he's
like a game that's sort of based on trauma.
Yes. Yeah. Ugh, I love Nigel. So then Angus and Nigel are back on the shore and Angus makes a joke like, when you got the shield first, I had murder on my mind. And then, of course, you cannot make a joke about pretending to be a traitor, especially not in front of Fiona, one of my favorite faithfuls, who is like, she like has perfect makeup. Mm-hmm. She's so gorgeous. Like she would be cast as like the best friends on an Australian sitcom. And she always speaks her mind. Like I'm obsessed with Fee. And she's like, he said he was going to murder him. Clearly he's a traitor. And like whenever anybody makes a joke like this, Fee in front of their faces will just start gathering people and being like, he said that. She's just so ballsy. I love her. So now everyone's kind of on Angus, you know, 5 episodes in, and then Marielle secretly during the day makes a deal with Nigel.
Oh boy.
She's like, it's time, you know, they're looking for blood. We gotta give them Angus. They're kind of already on him. Like if we don't vote for him, it's gonna be really bad for our game. And let's kind of like team up and have an alliance.
Yeah.
So Marielle goes after him hard at the banishment table. Claire didn't know that was the plan, so she's still protecting Angus. Angus goes home, and is the first traitor out. Everyone's excited.
Yay! Yeah, they're very happy.
Everyone celebrates, and then, but Claire, obviously, back in Traitor's Lounge, is pissed. It's very awkward, but then production, I think, makes such a smart choice because they had the double Chloe elimination. They don't have to murder someone tonight. And to break up the tension, the traitors get traitor mail. The challenges have been like kind of too hard this season and the prize pot is pretty low. So they find out they have a chance to amp up their prize pot or lose it all. And they've got to pick 3 people to go in tomorrow morning to go to the Wheel of Fate. Like, do you think it was already planned or production really had a stroke of brilliance?
Oh, I like to think that they had a stroke of brilliance. It's fun. I mean, I don't think that they were expecting Chloe to leave. So maybe they were like, okay, in case somebody leaves early, maybe we could, you know, different options and scenarios for what if.
Yeah. And especially with like, they kind of overshot maybe how hard the challenges were. So they're like, this is a chance to kind of pump it up.
Yeah. Okay. And also like, why are they swimming in tracksuits?
That was brutal. Like,
I liked it.
You would prefer the tracksuit swimming to the wetsuit swimming?
Yeah.
Soggier, more dramatic. Like
more dramatic. I like a soggy, upset person. Yeah.
Yeah, I do love the drama. Like when I was in high school and very dramatic, if I was very upset, I would like get in the bathtub in all of my clothes and be
Are you kidding?
Yeah, I was a huge drama queen.
Lauren, that's...
Did you do that? No.
Never. Okay. Okay, we'll have to take this off. What's wrong with you?
I'm telling you, reality TV, like, saved my histrionic personality disorder, because I can channel it all in that, but that's how dramatic I was.
I don't want to tell any tales out of school about Lauren, but, like, Lauren grew up in the most affluent part of Dallas and went to, like, a very good high school with 2 famous people. But, so you would come home from school, and be like, I don't have the time to derobe.
But it would be more like, I hate it here. No one understands me. Everyone's so racist. Matthew Stafford won't give me the time of day.
Matthew Stafford is a famous quarterback in America. And she went to school with him. And you still have a note from him.
I do. He was my bully. Not really. I mean, he didn't care about me, but he did write me a note dunking on me because I was a loser who read too many books.
Because Matthew Stafford told Lauren she read too many books, she would bathe in her clothes.
I mean, guys, shout out if you were a dramatic teen.
I was a dramatic teen, but I like did normal teen stuff about it. I wrote poetry. I cried and my parents put me in therapy.
I mean, yeah, I did that stuff too.
And
I went on medication.
Me too.
So sometimes you need all your clothes bath to feel like Sylvia Plath, you know? I mean, it's got to feel my
fantasy. Did your parents ever say, well, she stuck her head in an oven. Did your parents ever say anything like, why are you doing this?
Oh, I was pretty good.
Or were they like, it's okay?
A lot for my parents at that
you
point.
You hid your wet clothes from your family?
Yes. Okay.
Oh, blame.
Okay.
No, well, maybe this is why you have such, I'm saying that's why you had such a strong connection with this show.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, and just this was kind of the thesis of our podcast for anyone listening. People who are deeply unwell like me, reality TV can kind of fix your brain. I got into The Traitors when I was having a depressive episode, and it was the only thing to light up my serotonin again. So back to the game that saved my life. So Mark, Nigel, and Lewis go into the Wheel of Fate. The game is roulette. They can bet all their existing silver. Lewis perhaps has a gambling problem. I loved it. He's like, bet all the silver. And Mark is really cautious. He's like, no.
I also like, why silver? Like, what's going on in there?
I think it's like, I do like the drama of it more than like.
Just like a number, like in the US, it's like $250,000. Like they just have like a pile of like silver that they can physically see.
Yes, I like the, that it kind of shows, like,
But it's so cumbersome. What a cumbersome, you take that to the bank, like, 50 pounds of silver.
Oh, I mean, I think they're props, right? Like,
I
think
it's... I don't know, they never say it. Well, they say in the beginning, like, they win silver.
Yeah, I mean, I think that they...
I took it literally, and I don't have any abstract thinking, so...
Dang, that's something we should have asked Paul about. Well, I'll message him later, and maybe we'll add it to the end. So they bet, and then Mark wins big. They come back. Everyone's really happy. They've, like, almost doubled their prize pot, except for one faithful Matt.
Who, God.
It looks like the game is starting to get to him. He's, like, really obsessed with Teresa, another faithful. He's like, I know she's a traitor. I just know it. It's all he can talk about. He's like, Teresa.
Mm-hmm.
Anytime anyone's on the chopping block and they, like, know their name is being said, they're like, everyone's like, sorry, I think it's you, mate. And they're like, well, what about Matt? And they're like, everyone's like, oh, my God, Matt is driving me crazy.
I mean, just as a viewer, I was like, what is going on with this man?
I loved it because it's such a tense game. Like, the comedic relief we get in Paul and Matt is, like, gagged for it, like me and my stepson and my family were just like cracking up. But like every time it cuts to Matt, like sometimes it's like it looks like he's going along with a plan. They're like, okay, you're really gonna let the Teresa thing go, right? And he's like, yeah. And then it cuts to his talking head and he's like, I'm just pretending, I know it's her.
Yeah, he even said at one point, he's like, I had my fingers crossed behind my back. It's like,
so
damn,
it's so funny.
Yeah, he said that in the same sentence. He's like, and I'm a big real estate big shot up and down the Gold Coast. Teresa badly.
It seems like there, is a psychosexual component to this obsession. So at the banishment table, everyone's still on Claire, especially Mark. It didn't look great the way she was defending Angus. People have thought she had a weird reaction whole season. People think she's too smart to just be a checkout chick, which, like, she was not lying about that. She did have, like, a great career, and now she's, you know, like, retired and stuff, and she just does it to stay busy. Mm-hmm. And even Marielle goes after her. Nigel is so loyal. He can't do it. He can't vote for her.
He's such a good guy.
I know. And that I knew from the beginning, Nigel is my favorite player. I'm like, he's such a good guy. And he was a hostage with someone else. And he's a negotiator. It's like no person left behind. I was like, he might be a little too selfless and loyal for this game, but we'll see how it plays out for him. And then Claire goes home and she seems kind of bummed, which makes me sad. Do you like it when people give drama and are like genuinely emotionally affected by the game? Like when they go home in tears or when they go up there and they're like smile and they're like, I know you all betrayed me, but this was so fun. I love this game. Bye.
It's hard to say. I think it depends on who the player was, but yeah. I do get exhausted by the constant stream of tears.
Yeah. Yeah. By all of emotional reactions, yeah. Like it's a real murder.
Especially
yeah.
when it's like very, like when it's still early on in the season and it's like you've known these people for 14 seconds. It's like, relax, okay?
Yeah.
It's fine.
Yeah.
This person's not actually dead. It's fine that you got banished. Like it's going to be okay.
Yeah, I'm so desensitized to it from like reality dating shows where it's like after, you know, people have been hanging out for like 4 days and someone goes home. Everyone's like, oh no. She was my friend. But I could definitely see that. So Mark is feeling very successful as a traitor hunter. He just got two in a row. He has had suspicions on Marielle since Chloe said her name, and he's aiming to go after her next. And Marielle and Nigel meet in Traitor's Tower. They are very good traitors with total control of the game, so they know. Time to send Mark home. R.I.P. Mark.
Bye, Mark.
Bye, Mark.
Hi, Mark. Oh, bye, Mark.
Anybody seen The Room? So the next day, everyone is now pretty sure it's Kate because she is also very vocal in The Room. She's a beautiful photographer and she's very into the game. She's been just as loud as Mark and Mitty, but still hasn't gone home yet. And so everyone's like, it's got to be Kate. And then we have a shield challenge, which is archery. Yeah,
what is this, the Hunger Games?
Oh, cool. I know. I do like that these challenges seem a little more like, you know, themed like rich people murder mystery games.
Well,
like,
then why aren't they playing like, it's not called crochet. What is that game? Cricket. Not cricket. You know, it's like
croquet.
They should just do challenges like that.
Like, I would love if they played like a Heather's style croquet game where it's like different people's heads you're whacking into the hole.
Yeah,
that's
fun. Or like that movie, Jawbreaker. Just really, we want like 80s teen death movies part of the traitors.
Yeah, like a pop culture and a spooky element. That's really the sweet spot for the challenges, I think.
Beetlejuice.
If you have to have them. Beetlejuice, yeah. So once again, during this archery challenge, someone makes an offhanded joke. Dirk's like, what's the deal with this again? Does it protect us from banishment? And people are like, well, also, the shield protects you from murder. And he's like, oh, right, murder. Forgot about that. And Fiona, of course,
Dirk.
Like clockwork, she, like a sniper. She's zoned in on that loudly to everyone. You forgot about murder. Can you believe you forgot about murder? I would never forget about murder. And so it's looking bad for Dirk, especially because
he's not a good actor.
Yeah, he's more of a cabaret song and dance man.
In the words of Kate Chastain, he's giving community theater, baby.
Yeah, which also he's been keeping a secret that he does cabaret community theater for some reason. So people have already picked up on that he's hiding something. So when Kate wins the shield, it looks like it's going to be Dirk. It's going to be Dirk. Between the joke and the veil of secrecy around his resume, it's looking bad for him. And so Kate can't go home. She can't be voted out. It looks like it's going to be Dirk. Dirk goes to the only person who might work with him, Matt. And Matt has exactly the deal for him that you would expect. It's like,
do I got a deal for you, baby? Up and down the Gold Coast. It's Teresa. I'm here. I'm not selling her a home. I'll fuck her, though.
That's a direct quote. And,
yeah, with my fingers crossed behind me back.
And so Dirk is like annoyed by this too. He makes a beautiful, honest speech in the banishment room. He's like, look, vote for me if you want. I was making a joke, but isn't Matt annoying? And everyone's like, yeah, Matt is annoying.
Matt, fill in your brows. Okay, you're on TV. I know that you're not an above the line person, but just fill in those brows, baby.
I love what a unique look he has to add to his unique, like, point of view. He's like a cartoon character. I love it. Okay. Well, I guess the faithful agree because Matt is voted out. People don't really think he's a traitor. It seems like he's just not helping at this point because he's so stuck on Teresa. Yeah, they're done. As is Michelle.
Teresa, he made quite the impression on me.
Love any comic relief. You know, it's like if you're going to be an obstructive faithful, at least be hilarious. Unintentionally like Matt or intentionally like Kate Chastain. I love it if you are bringing me jokes.
Yeah. Bring Lauren jokes. And if you don't, she will take a bath in her clothes.
Yeah, and that's a promise. Mm-hmm. Okay, so that night, the traitors, Marielle and Nigel, everything's going great for them. Dirk and Kate are probably going to be out next, or maybe Teresa. There's still heat on her now that Matt's out. And now it's really sad that, like, once Matt is out, that's when people start believing Teresa. Real, like, Shakespearean tragedy there. So they have the option now to recruit another traitor. They will send a letter to a traitor, say, do you want to join us? Yes or no. Checkbox, yes or no.
Do you like me? Yes or no.
And Alex gets the will you be our girlfriend notes. She's a faithful who's been pretty quiet so far. All we know about her is that she wants the money so that she can do IVF with her partner. She's very young and beautiful. She accepts the invitation. Marielle and Nigel are thinking, okay, she's a quieter player. No one suspects her. It'll be easy for us to throw her under the bus like we did Angus and Claire. What do you think of them recruiting Alex? Who would you have recruited?
Well, knowing how this season ends, I think it was a smart choice. And, you know, I think you always do well as a traitor when you have something that's like, you know, kind of like sad. Not that IVF is sad, but it's like a thing that I'm struggling. You know, we're going to have to do this. Mm-hmm. I need the money. So I will do anything. She'll do anything at any cost. Choose it.
Yes.
She's a PYT. Mm-hmm. She's a pretty young thing. And mm-hmm. you know, she's easy on the eyes.
But I think it is, a little bit of a giveaway and like an almost perfectly edited and produced season that she's the only person whose reason for winning the money we really see. Hint, hint. But and I do think it was a mistake to recruit her.
Thought it was smart to recruit her.
I mean, they played well for Marielle and Nigel. I think that they probably should have recruited someone with a little more heat on them.
Like what, Teresa?
Teresa, I think, would have been a good pick. Even maybe not Kate because Lewis?
Lewis.
Yeah, someone who, like, you know, would have been probably voted out in two rounds. And then eventually, I think Marielle and Nigel would have had to turn on each other because of they would know a traitor was left. But I think probably Marielle would have turned on Nigel. She claims she wouldn't in interviews, but I think that probably Marielle would have won if she hadn't recruited Alex. But that's not what happened. Instead, Alex studies the traitors. She's like, wow, they're really great. They're really smart. They're really in control of the game. And Dirk is voted out exactly like they'd hoped. And when he's voted out, he says theatrically, I have a secret. I'm not just a concierge at a hotel. And everyone's like, oh my gosh, he's also a traitor. But he says, I do cabaret at a nightclub and I'm a faithful. And it is so, I was lolling so hard that like afterwards everyone's talking, like Nigel's even like, I just don't get why he said that. Why wouldn't you just say you're a concierge who does theater sometimes in the game? Like, why would he do that? Like, everyone's confounded. And so that night, the traitors decide to kill Fiona, my girl, RIP, I love you. And they're still very in control of the game. Everyone's thinking it's Kate or Teresa. The next day at breakfast, Alex really reveals what a player she is. She is turning on the waterworks. I mean, like, talk about a background.
Which is
act.
Amazing
this, she's a star.
Because she wears so much makeup and... Yeah, she's it never a star. Runs. She's got her fake lashes on. And
yeah, get her on Housewives of Sydney. Like,
yeah, get her on Housewives of Beverly Hills at this point. I'll fucking take anybody.
Honestly, yes. And like Marielle is seeing this and she's like, oh shit. Like she's like really good.
Yeah.
So Marielle's plan is to go to Kate and push Teresa as a traitor and then go to Teresa and push Kate as a traitor. So she's with Kate and she says, right before Fee was murdered, she told me go after Teresa. She thinks it's Teresa. And Kate is like, huh, Fee did that. Fiona, who would start yelling loudly every time she had an inkling someone was a traitor or made a joke about being a traitor. She's like, in her mind, she's like, that's not like her. But Kate's like, interesting. And then everything starts clicking for her. She realizes this is a lie. Marielle is a traitor.
Mm-hmm.
So the fickle hand of fate puts Teresa, or production, puts Teresa and Kate in the same car. And Kate is like, look, I know we were both gunning for each other, but what if we team up? Marielle just told me the story about Fee. Don't you think she's a traitor? And Teresa's like, she totally is. And the reason we suspect each other is because she was putting stuff in our ears. Do you think this was another mistake by Marielle to tell Kate this thing about Fiona?
Yeah. Marielle. You fucked up. Yeah. Girl, you done fucked up.
What if I told you that Marielle, in interviews since, she has said Fiona actually did say that the night, like, right before she was murdered. Marielle still thinks it was a little bad gameplay to do that, because if you're going to talk about a conversation that happened right before going to bed, there's no witnesses. It's always going to be suspicious. But what if it, like, that part really was true? Do you still think it was a mistake?
I'm sorry, Marielle. You didn't fuck up.
So it's too late, though. Teresa and Kate both know, and they know Marielle is such a good traitor. She has such strong relationships. She's so good at the banishment table, and whoever she's working with is great. They have to blindside her.
Mm-hmm.
No one can know. This is, I think, the most exciting episode. So they tell Alex, and Alex is immediately in. She's ready to turn on the traitors because she knows they'd turn on her. Craig is in. Who's another faithful.
He finally shows up to play.
Yes, Craig has had a quieter edit. The only thing we really know about him is he and Nigel are, like, each other's number one.
Yeah, they're friends.
Very close. Like, sometimes Craig will, like, whisper a name to Nigel who to vote for. Like, that's what happened with Claire, and it's why Nigel didn't have to vote Claire. Like, they're always on the same page. And so then Craig is like, okay, we're going Marielle to Nigel. And Nigel is flipping out because he is so loyal, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And the secret plan is everyone's pretending to vote Teresa. That's what Marielle thinks is happening. Alex is kind of like wanting Nigel to not go along with it. So she's like, we'll just feel it out, I guess. Alex is also not telling Marielle. She's like, yep, it's going to be Teresa. And Marielle's like, okay, cool. I'll vote Paul just to be wacky crazy. And so then the banishment table plays out. A lot of fake arguing. Mm-hmm. It's very like in Salt Lake City, the finale where they blindside Monica with the truth about her burner account. Any Salt Lake City Housewives fans. It's so exciting. And then the time for talk is over. The time for vote has begun. And as everyone starts to vote Marielle, when the first vote comes in, Marielle already knows what's happening. She's done. Nigel can't do it.
Yeah.
She's done. He votes for Lewis. Marielle's voted out. She says, I've been hiding something. I'm not just a service industry worker. I'm a seventh year law student. Like, basically exactly what everyone shaded Dirk for doing. She's also a model. I follow her on IG, and it's like, I would brag about that too. You know, I would
throw that in there. Not being in law school for 7 years.
Yeah. Like, I'm also a body, yaddy, yaddy.
Yeah.
I'm also signed with a great agency.
Is it a great agency?
I actually don't know. I'm not familiar with the industry in Australia, but her shoots look great on IG. So Alex and Nigel meet up in Traitor's Tower. They have another letter. This time they can put three players on death row. They'll be able to kill one the next night. So they decide Paul, Kate, and Craig. Everyone's thinking it's Lewis now. They're like, cool, Lewis will be voted out. And then, you know, we'll kill one of these three tomorrow night. Probably Kate, because she's so smart. The next day, we get our only talking head from Paul, which I watched about 12 times when I first watched. He's like, I didn't get murdered. Yeah.
And everyone's really going to think, what, Paul? Yeah.
And then again, Alex is weeping because she feels so guilty about not suspecting Marielle early. And now Nigel is having his like, oh, fuck, I'm so fucked moment. Paul, Craig, and Kate get their little death row letters. They learn one will be murdered tonight. And then at the Shield Challenge, Lewis wins immunity from banishment and murder. So they have to have another plan. So Alex is in the car with Kate and Lewis, and she uses this opportunity to strike against Nigel. She says, Nigel, you know, he didn't vote for Claire. He didn't vote for Marielle. Look at all the people who went after the Shield, pretty much all the other traitors. And she gives like Claire just an inkling. And Claire, as she says, Claire's a smart girl. She puts it together. They all know it's Nigel. Alex says, later, traitor. What did you think of Alex's work as a traitor here?
I think her work as a traitor was excellent, honestly. She's devious. Yeah. She knows the assignment. She came in with a plan. She knew what she was doing. Yeah.
Yeah. When I first watched, I was like a little frustrated because she had such an advantageous spot in the game. Mm-hmm. But then when I rewatched this time, I was like, no, you can't hate it. It was her gameplay was flawless.
Flawless. And her makeup was flawless.
Yes.
She runs a tight ship over there.
She really does. And she was like, I think even more ruthless than, you know,
she was
Marielle
ruthless.
And Nigel. Yeah,
for
no
sure.
Ruth at all.
Yeah, no, there's no Babe Ruth in this.
Mm-mm. I cob all the way.
Anybody get that reference?
Yeah, we do a lot of 1930s references on this podcast. Again, everyone's talking before the banishment. Nigel's left out. He knows it's him. He goes into the room. He's hoping that Craig will save his butt. But Craig is like, I mean, you can pretend that you didn't know we were going to vote Marielle, but you did know. Like, you're clearly caught in a lie. Mm-hmm. You're a great guy. I hope we stay friends. I hope they are still friends. And then Nigel goes up, finally reveals a good secret about the hostage stuff and that he's a traitor. Everyone celebrates. Hell yes. And that night, Alex is the sole traitor. She's got a recruit. And she's got to kill a player on death row. So Claire, who's orchestrated the last two traitor deaths, she gets the letter and she's sure she's murdered. She's like, what's this? The consequences of mine own actions? And then she gets the letter. She's actually recruited. And she's got to accept because otherwise she'll definitely get murdered. She accepts. She says, Alex, thanks for not murdering me. And together they decide to kill Paul. The next day, another banishment. Teresa is banished. She's a faithful. Alex cries again at the banishment table. And Kate sees that Craig is comforting Alex. And in that moment, she realizes, oh my gosh, Craig and Alex are super close. And I made a huge mistake. Like, there's no way to get in between them. My game is fucked. So they have the final mission, helicopters, drama. And then it's the final banishment. Two faithful, two traitors. The only way the faithful can win at this point is if Lewis and Craig team up, but instead they are gunning for each other. Kate really tries to get them to go after Alex, but she kind of, Alex has played such a good game from such a good position. Like, she has nothing on her other than she's been crying a lot since she's been recruited. And so she's like, she's gotta go Lewis. Kate, Craig, and Alex all vote Lewis. Do you think Kate should have at least tried to create a deadlock in the votes, or was that too risky for her?
It's probably too risky for her. Alex was just playing such a good game.
Kate's only hope at this point,
honestly.
She was great. She just was playing from a different position than Alex, you know. She didn't have the control of being a traitor until the end, and she had to dodge murder. And like, I mean, she was lucky that she like didn't get murdered until the very end, but that also just made her such a target too. Both great games. Both would have been satisfying winners, and both are trying to win. So, of course, at the end, if two traitors make it to the end, it's a steal or share situation. They can decide to share, or if one decides to steal, they get all the money, or if they both decide to steal, no money. So basically, if you take a traitor to the end, your odds are much lower. Kate and Alex both know this. They say, oh, yeah, we're totally going to go to the end together and share, but they both are too good of players to really believe each other. It would just be bad gameplay. The game is who can get Craig on their side. Because if Craig is at the end with you as a traitor, you automatically win. Kate talks to Craig about Alex, and it seems like, oh, Kate might actually do it. Like, Craig seems really down to vote her out. Like, maybe Kate has planted those seeds of doubt. And then Alex and Craig talk, and it's like, I mean, it's over. Mm-hmm. Like, Alex is like crying and being like, I don't trust either of you. Craig is trying to convince
her. Crying again. Yes. I get it.
Yeah.
Crocodile tears.
But Craig is eating it up, you know? Mm-hmm. And they vote Kate out. She says she's a traitor. Mm-hmm. There's two people left. Game is over.
I hated this moment. I wanted to die. Craig's face.
It's one of the best and worst moments in Traitors at the Same Time. He's so excited.
He's so earnest and happy.
This was edited out, but he actually really needed the money because his daughter is disabled and his wife is her main caretaker, and they need more money to help with that and the medical bills.
Knowing he had such a reason to need the money.
I know. And so Craig turns to her and says, I'm a faithful. And then there's silence.
Mm-hmm. And he goes, no.
And his face is so still.
Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, it looks like the editor's paused because it's like, it's just, he's so still, but then all the color leaves his face and all the light leaves his eyes. Goes, no.
Way to go, Alex.
And Alex says, I'm a traitor, Craig. And she gets all the money. And as of like a year ago, they hadn't spoken since. I think that is a thing with Australia. Like the finals are just so personal and heated that like people, a lot of people haven't, you know, been able to talk or forgive each other. And it's the end of an amazing season. What grade would you give
this
season?
I give it A for Australia.
I give it an A plus for Australia Plus.
Australia
Plus. Is that a network?
Oh, it should be Australia Plus.
It should be.
Yeah. Dirk has done some commercials for Australia Plus.
Oh, definitely. Definitely. It's cabaret commercials.
Oh, boy.
Thank you guys so much for listening to this recap. Hopefully you could follow along if you've forgotten about the season or if you hadn't watched, because we have an amazing guest here to do a great tell-all interview. The most mysterious player and my favorite player of all time. Come back and listen to our interview with the International Man of Mystery, Paul.
Yay!
These girls are having a break.
Well, we have a very special guest today. I cannot think of a reality TV show player I would be more excited to talk to. We've just got into the whole spiel about how he made this season hilarious. Now he's an international man of mystery. Guys, please welcome from season one of The Traitors Australia, Paul McNeil.
Yay! Yay! Hello, Lauren. Hello, Michelle.
Thank you so much, Paul. Thank you so much for doing our show.
That's no problem at all. The international man of invisibility, as they say.
We love that. Yes. We love it.
So let's talk a little about your life. So you're a successful British man.
Yes.
An English businessman in Australia.
Correct.
And then you were inspired, once you've conquered the world of business, you're like, okay, I want to do a reality show and a game show. What made you decide to go out for the
trade? Pivot, yeah.
Well, I just want to see, because everybody talks about reality shows and how real they are. And are they shonky? Are they trashy or whatever? And there's not really one particular show I wanted to go on, because I just thought, Love Island, not good looking enough, Survivor not fit enough, and all that sort of stuff. But when Traitors came up, it actually looked like a logical reality show to do. That's the only reason I actually applied for that show, because I wasn't going to do a reality show at first. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that makes sense to me. Like, Survivor, that sounds like a friggin' nightmare. Everybody's like 70 pounds, like Big Brother.
They're like dehydrated. They're like dehydrated and like running around in like the desert or something. Like, no, thank you.
So
put me in a castle.
Basically, it's like living in New York, right, Michelle? Weren't you just in there?
I was just in New York City. I didn't know you were keeping tabs on me, Paul.
No, it's just your travel agent phoned up and said, hey, Michelle's going to New York. I said, oh, is she going to be the mugger or the muggy?
Unfortunately, I was neither. I didn't get to experience any of that while I was in New York.
But I'll be going there in June, so fingers crossed, Paul.
Well, they do say that there's somebody gets mugged every 14.5 minutes in New York.
Really?
I don't know why he doesn't move away, to tell you the truth.
Huh. Yeah, I wasn't mugged there. I was robbed, but then you're not technically a New Yorker until you are robbed. So I was kind of like, okay, good. Now I'm part of it. I'm part of the city.
Hey, so is this show going out to America? Is it? Yeah.
It goes out everywhere.
Okay. Well, seeing as
we're worldwide,
seeing as there's 341,476,710 people as we speak in America, that's the population stats as we speak. I just want to say hello to every single one of them.
Oh,
so here we go. Hello, Arizona, Arkansas, California, Colorado, Connecticut, Delaware, Florida, Georgia, Hawaii, Idaho, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kansas, Kentucky, Louisiana, Maine, Maryland, Massachusetts, Michigan, Minnesota, Mississippi, MISSIPPI, Missouri, Montana, Nebraska, Nevada, New Hampshire, New Jersey, New Mexico, New York, North Carolina, North Dakota, Ohio, Oklahoma, Oregon, Pennsylvania, Rhode Island, even you lot, South Carolina, South Dakota, Tennessee, all y'all, Texas, Utah, Vermont, Virginia, Washington, West Virginia, Wisconsin, and last but no means least, you all from Wyoming. There you go. Every single one of you.
Wow. I forgot about half of those states.
I'm so impressed. Yeah. And we're going to say, since, you know, you're in Australia, hi to Sydney. And that's all
and
we
New
know.
South Wales.
And New
South Wales. Oh, yeah. Brisbane. Melbourne. Did I say
Gold
that right?
Keep going.
Just all of the outback.
Everywhere. Everywhere. All the kangaroos and the great whites and the shark.
All the kangaroos.
The snake.
The barbie. Kangaroos. And the shrimp on them.
That's
yes.
It.
And all the Foster's beers.
They don't sell Foster's beer anymore. They sell it overseas. They don't. Nobody drinks it.
Oh my gosh.
I thought that was Australian for beer.
Well, it is, but it's a great marketing ploy, that. You go into any bottle shop over here and try and ask Foster's and they go, what?
Yeah, Lord what? And I, we're not very well traveled, especially internationally.
Oh, well, there you go. You have to travel more then, don't you?
We do.
Yeah. Well, do you guys at least eat at Outback Steakhouses in Australia?
There's another one. Yeah. Well, we do have steakhouses. Of course we do. Barbies and that. Of course we do. Yeah, of course.
Okay.
Exciting.
Something to look forward to. Okay. So what was the casting process like for the Traitors?
I must admit, it was very arduous. It was a long time. Mm-hmm. And I'm pretty sure it's in tandem with a lot of them shows where you've literally, I think on one of your shows, Lauren, you said something about, I'd like to see the psycho tests for a lot of these.
Maybe housewives.
Oh, well.
Real housewives. Yeah.
Not just them, believe me. They're all loony. They're all loony. Well, yeah, basically, you stick your application and thousands of people apply, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
You obviously look for something. How good you are at something or whatever you do. They're looking for something to fit in with the show or fit in with their narrative or whatever. So basically, you get a response back. I can't remember the exact process, but I know there was a number of times we backed and forwarded. You had to go through. It was, I think, it was 330 odd questions on the psychology test.
Oh,
yeah. Wow!
So, what were the questions like on the psychology test?
Remember, is it like, are you an axe murderer or something, or do you go on?
How exciting!
They go. Yeah, I think one was, do you go on podcasts with Lauren and Michelle? And right, you're in. But they.
we're a deal breaker.
We'd love to hear that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, you've got it, and then you've got medicals, and you've got, you know, it goes through. You have the interview on the phone, then you have a face-to-face interview, you know, and the producers come up, and then online, and that's just the bottom level. Then it goes further up to when the executive producers want you, and then you go through your psych tests and your medicals, and you're still not in. They never tell you you're in. I think that's pretty much the same for all shows where they don't tell you right to the last minute because it's cloaked in secrecy, which is fairly understandable. People divulge a lot of info. You don't want to do that. So,
yeah, you can't have it spoiled. Well, I got to know, Paul, were you cutting up on the psych eval the same way you cut up with us? Or were you like very serious with all the interviews and stuff? And then
talking
you came
about,
and you were like
important business stuff.
Or were you like, guess what? I'm hilarious when you showed up.
Were you wearing costumes?
Yeah, I'm a serious sort of guy.
Yeah.
No, just act normal. All you got to do, Mm-hmm. Show you go on, mm-hmm. act yourself. They always say that. You know, whether you go on America's Not Got Talent or you go on The Voice, mm-hmm. goes, they all want, everyone tries to act differently. Or if you act yourself, fine, mm-hmm. like, just do it. But if you're acting like someone else, you've got something either to hide or you don't feel confident enough. I just acted myself, basically. I just thought, well, it's a laugh. Forget on and get on. Mm-hmm. No, it doesn't matter, does it really? You know?
Right. And that's what the camera captured.
I ended up getting on, I thought.
Yeah, so I mean, so unfortunately, we did not see a lot of you on the show, but when we did see you, it was magical. What did you know when the show was coming out to producers or anyone reach out to you saying, like, you're not in this a lot, no. you've been edited out, you had no idea?
No, we're as surprised as everybody else. You don't get to see anything, talk about anything. And like when you get knocked mm-hmm. off, so there's 24 in hours, mm-hmm. got to number 6. Oh, yeah, number 6. Ooh. There you go.
Yeah, Corey, baby, yeah.
Corey. Yeah, yeah, yeah. How far? Under the radar. But yeah, no, there was lots of jokes, lots of laughs, but maybe we mm-hmm. didn't quite catch them.
Why do you think that they didn't want to show so much of that?
Well, it's all about, if you look at certain characters and how much they were shown, and it makes you wonder, you know, why and who were favourites, etc. But there's a lot of good stuff. That, honestly, there's a lot of good stuff in there that was brilliant. It was award-winning stuff. And I just thought, are you kidding? They haven't shown this or they haven't shown that.
Yeah. So the rumor has it, like, that, like, part of the reason that you were cut out a little bit is because they wanted a really serious tone and you were hilarious. Like, you were, like, you'd have props at the banishment ceremonies and, like, made, you know, like, lots of jokes and reference, like, different movies and stuff. Is there any truth to that? Like, do you think that, like, your lightheartedness was part of what made them decide you don't mesh well with the season?
Well, I just suggest to everybody who's listening, Google the term reality and just see what it actually means. Mm-hmm. Reality means real, doesn't it? Not made.
Yeah.
Scripted. It's mm-hmm. real. Keep it real. So if you're not keeping it real, you know. But you, look, they have to do a show. They have to create suspense and mystery, etc. Which we were doing because we were sussing out the traitors, all right. And not the beginning. Mm-hmm. We didn't do it at the beginning. Because it is really hard at the beginning. You really don't know. And everybody is making friends with everybody. And straight away, I knew, oh, they're all trying to make friends. What they like outside? Would they be this friendly? I don't think so. But you could just... Mm-hmm. And then when the actual traitors are selected, you really don't know. You just don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, once they... Mm-hmm. He goes around the table, puts his hand on the shoulder of somebody, but he makes noises so you can't realise. And then once you take your mask off, the first thing I did was looked around the room straight away to see who was looking. Because if you're a traitor, you wouldn't be looking. You know? Mm-hmm. And there's a few that look around. I thought, hello, hello. Yeah, there you go. Which end?
Were you on to Claire?
Yeah. Oh, well, I got Claire. I actually got Claire. Mm-hmm. And did you notice it didn't show me at all saying I got, because I got her the week before. The week before she went, I voted for her. Look at the stats. And
you voted for her. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow. I said, you're the traitor. I know you are. Oh, no, I'm not. No, I'm not. Mm-hmm. No, you are. And you know, I put myself out there and I thought, I'm going to be gone here. I'm going to get killed off. The following, and we were talking, mm-hmm. and I said, she is. And I told them the reasons why, which they didn't show. For example, when the challenger in the water, you've got to swim across to the island to get the little medal, you know, and probably half a dozen of us got in. I got in, I thought, geez, it's too cold. And I'd missed the mark. I knew I was going to get there. So I came back, and Claire went up to her ankles in it or knees in it. She came out, and all day she's going, I'm freezing, I'm cold, I'm really wet. So I'm saying, you've only got water up to your ankles. How can you be wet and cold? Straight away, I'm going, ding dong, there's a red flag. And then...
Drag her.
No, at first I thought you were calling her a ding dong. No, and I was naughty boy.
No, not a ding dong. No, keep it real. And then there was a couple of other things I got on her. And straight away, And then in the interviews, they were saying, oh, so you got her. What did you think? And I said, well, it's pretty obvious. And then it showed someone else saying, oh, yeah, we thought it was Claire. So,
when you cracked the case.
She cracked the code early.
And she was a lovely girl, Claire, you know. But you can tell.
Oh, yeah.
You can tell because body movements and just things like mm-hmm. lovely girl, quiet. I'm a checkout chick, you know, out of work in a mm-hmm. and she wouldn't say boo to a goose. And then once the mm-hmm. and we were doing challenges, she'd go, I'll read it out, I'll do it. And she went front of camera. I'm going, another red flag there. There you go. So, mm-hmm. oh, we're mm-hmm. well, we got him, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. It was an incredible game. So you said that your like spiel at the banishment ceremony was edited out too. Is there any truth to the also sometimes at banishment ceremonies you would like everything that I heard you did is so hilarious. Like costumes. As a comedian, I just think it's amazing. I want to know if any of it's true. Did you make people swear on their families' lives?
Can I plead the fifth on that one?
Oh, I didn't know you could do that in other countries. I thought that was just in America.
It's just America. I love you a lot in America. You know that. I love America. I wouldn't live there.
What yeah, are you don't name all the states again, Paul. Don't name all the states. We yeah, believe
don't name all the states. Texas is still trying to secede, so.
No, that's it. We finished now. Goodbye.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
The geography portion of the quiz is now over.
Yes. All 341 million of you. Yeah, that's it.
Oh, my God. Yeah. I didn't even know that.
So, no.
That's
so
crazy.
So there was a couple of things. It's mm-hmm. that might have been one of them. The like, narcissism as a because that is a general pointer towards people mm-hmm. and narcissism takes many forms, whether it's, you know, you're very mm-hmm. introvert but look at me right through to the person who drives the yellow Lamborghini, look at me and I've got lots of money and I'm so good looking.
Oh. So MK is are you shouting out MK right now?
I want she one, eh? We thought he was an actor, but apparently he does a bit of acting. Mm-hmm. He's a lawyer, and he did a bit of acting in mm-hmm. time or modelling. I'm thinking, how on earth would a lawyer be doing that? Anyway, that didn't matter. And that's what throws you when you find it. Mm-hmm. You just think, well, that doesn't make sense. And that throws you when you're trying to do a proper game, you know. So that's why after the first day we got there, and I'm looking around, and I was going to go blazing, all guns blazing. And I thought, sit back, Paul, let them kill themselves. Mm-hmm. They all started killing each other off. Mm-hmm. It's good.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Look, I had a good. We're having laughs, and you're mic'd up all the time. You got the mic from the time you leave your room to the time they bring you back to your room. You're always accompanied. You're never on your own, so you can't do it.
Mm-hmm.
So people online, they come up with all sorts. Oh yeah, he's drunk or what? We can't. We didn't even mm-hmm. have a drink. We had one or two drinks, and that was about it. So we couldn't even have alcohol while we were there. So.
So did they only record you guys? Were you only allowed to talk about game for what, like less than an hour? That's what Simone said happened on season two. Did you guys get more time to talk game, or is it just like after 45 minutes, they're like, okay, you're all separated?
No, you're in your room with no contact to the outside world. You're literally,
oh my goodness.
And you can't leave the room or anything. So you're locked down for a while. I was in there for 3 or 4 weeks. I was in there for quite a while. And you soon find yourself out, you know, talk to yourself, just don't answer back. But they knock on your door, you go out with them, you're mic'd up in your room so they can hear what you're saying. But I must admit though, I'm not told anyone this. So they'll mic you up in the room and you go out for, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour. So they can still hear you in the room. And I was talking to them, I was telling them jokes. I bet they were cracking up. I bet they were laughing at the production because I was just telling jokes in my room to myself, you know. Presence there. And then they pick you up, and then you can't talk to the other contestants at all, not at all, unless you're on camera, you know. So that was, and that's reality. And I think the likes of Big Brother, I don't know, I don't really watch Love Island, but some of them, they are pretty well unscripted, you know, where they just go mm-hmm. free for all. This was very regimented and disciplined.
Mm-hmm.
You had to mm-hmm. what they said, you know.
So, Paul, I have a question about one of the contestants, Chloe, who left the show early.
Michelle was obsessed with Chloe.
I felt a connection with her. I wanted to know about her spirit guides. Did she ever do like a reading for you guys or talk about her spirit guides or being a medium?
Yes. Well, I have said that in that previous podcast, but mm-hmm. I was paired up with Chloe. She's a lovely girl, you know. I asked her what the lottery numbers were, the lotto for the week. Didn't know them. Like, you're no good, are you? Like, not that kind of me. What kind is it then? So I think this is out in the open, but we were paired together to do a game of backgammon, I think it was, which I can't play, which Chloe didn't play. And so they quickly taught us, and we were playing, and then she was saying, you know, there's a presence in the room, and I'm speaking to someone, and I'm going, yeah. And she was speaking to me dad. She said, oh, your father said hello. And I went, did he? Oh, I'll say hello back, you know. And yeah, he's okay, and it was all this, talking away. And I thought, well, he's in England at the moment. He's not actually dead. I didn't want to embarrass on the camera or anything. And then and alluding to your point, Lauren, about jokes and that, I must have broken the mood because I said, oh, great. I said, oh, can you ask him a question? And she said, absolutely. You know when they're in that...
Right? That's a dead-ass impression, yeah, Paul.
Yeah. Oh, I said...
she's in the room now.
Yeah, I said, can you ask him a question for me? He said, absolutely. I said, when he died, he owed me £50. When am I going to get it back? He went, grunt.
So do you think that that was part of the reason she that left. Chloe left? That, like, people were not taking her gifts seriously enough, and she wanted, like, everyone to be like, ooh, wow, Chloe, yeah. You know, yeah, look, you speak to the other side.
That was a big surprise when she left. I was actually, nothing's really on there, really, but I just thought, is this a fix? What's going on with this? This doesn't seem right. And everyone was saying the same. But I think the day before we were at breakfast and Roger came in, Roger with a D. He came in. Very good looking lad, that guy.
Yeah. Very strapping young man.
He
fills out a suit.
Yeah.
Yes. Apparently. Everywhere.
Don't know. I wasn't lucky, Michelle. I'll look.
You dirty dog, Paul.
But we were at breakfast, right? And he came in and he, you know, hello everybody, and the next challenge is, you know, and he spoke about the railway challenge where we had to go through the carriages and stuff, which is another story I'll tell you in a sec. And he said, and the railway carriages, blah, blah, blah. So anyway, he went away, and then Chloe goes, she stands up, she goes, I knew it. She said, wait, what? Visions. And someone came to her, her auntie, or somebody came, talking about trains, we were going to do a train thing. And we all went, what? And then who was it? Louis showed up and said, I could have said that after the fact. Why didn't you tell us before? he got the poopy dude. So I think that might.
Chloe, we would love to have you on the show.
Yeah, I think she has got something, you know, something there. But I'm a bit of a skeptic when it comes to that. It's something definite. Not generic where they say, your name is John. There's about a million Johns in the world. Or you're Bubba in America, you know, it's got to be pretty mad. And when she didn't give me the results of bingo and lottery, then that was it for me.
Well, this is how we'll test it. We are putting it out into the ether in the podcast. Chloe, contact us, and if we hear from her, we'll know she's psychic.
Hold on a minute. The presence in the room is on.
Oh,
it's not dogs. Is it
your dogs?
You never know. She's on. Dispel all fears and problems, you know. But yeah, lightheartedness. I mean, come on. You know what? You get a lot more out of people when you're funny and they're at ease than being really strict and solemn and, you know. It's amazing how we can catch people out like that, you know?
Yeah, and I really think that's, like, such a good strategy. And honestly, like, even though, like, obviously I'm sure it was, like, disappointing at first that you were edited out, but, like so much and we saw so little of you, but your comedic presence because of that, it's like such a tense season, and just the idea that you were being so funny and silly and taking the piss that they've got to like cut your mic and cut around you, it adds such a level
and
of
like a
comedy.
Lure, like it's like you're the most interesting person on the show because of like the way that you were edited out.
It does make you, yeah, it does. I watch myself, you know what, I've only watched it. I watched the whole series through. I've never watched it again. And I've and this is the honest to God truth, I've not watched season two. I've not watched the two UK series or the American series. I've never watched any other one. I've never actually watched any other traitor.
I didn't know that.
Superstars do. You know, like the actors say, I never watched myself. I didn't watch the movie.
I can't watch myself on screen.
No, I know. It's like, yeah. But that, you know, as I was saying about the train. When Chloe said, the train challenge was, there was three or four characters. We had to break up into three or four groups. you know, and it was like an escape room type thing. You get the clue from carriage one, go to carriage two, get a clue to carriage three, and then carriage four and open it up. So we were all trying to decide who was going to go in the carriages. And of course, the first carriage, that's where the pressure is, because if you don't get it right in the first one, you're stuffed. You stuff everybody up. So they're all, I'll go in carriage four, I'll go in carriage three. And we're all looking at each other going, what? So we ended up going, I was in one with, and you know, with the pressure lot. There was me, Nigel, Claire. I think there was Nigel, Claire. I think it was Angus as well.
But ooh.
Blind as a bat. I didn't have my glasses with me. And we had to find the code in a book. And it's small, right? And I couldn't read it. So I had to stand on the chair and look up in the light at the top. And I was the one who found it. And I'm blind as a bat. And I show it. They just show Claire going, right, here's the number. Here's the number. And Matt runs off dramatically down the train. And he comes back. And he goes, they think you've got it wrong. I said, it's bloody right. I'm telling you it's right. It's right. There's a minute or two lost. He ran off and he got it right then. And I'm going, you're kidding. Oh, come on. And we lost by about a minute, so we would have got it. Yeah. But it was,
dang.
Yeah, but that's where I got Claire again, because she was like, I'll read it out. I'll read it. And I'm going, ding. Oh, no, I'm not going to say ding dong, Michelle. I'm not going to say that.
Ding dong. Claire's a ding dong.
Obviously, it's not. To say with you, 341 million people. Yeah, so there you go. I was telling jokes, but I was also doing a few impersonations as well, you know.
Oh yeah, wait, Paul, can we hear some of your impersonations?
Sure. Let me think. How about Gladiator? Yeah,
okay.
Gladiator.
Russell Crowe Gladiator?
Oh yeah.
Russell Crowe, you remember that one, no?
Yeah.
Okay. I am Maximus, Maximus Decimus Meridius, commander of the armies of the North, general of the Felix Legions, loyal servant of the true emperor, Marcus Aurelius, father to a murdered son, husband to a murdered wife. I will have my vengeance in this or the next.
There you go, baby, yeah.
Wonderful. Did you ever do that during a banishment?
I'm not during a banishment, no. No, because... in the banishment. It's actually because what you do is you gather in the room where they're playing pool and having, you know, outside, and you're in groups, and everyone's, it's like being in the school playground. They're all talking about each other. Oh, she's coming. And I knew I was okay, because every time I have a group, they go, oh, it's only Paul. And I go, yeah. they'd have someone coming up and they'll go, it's Nigel. Or, shh, it's me. That's my idea. That was affecting different people. But Paulie, I'd walk up. Oh, yeah. Oh, it's only Paul. Come on. I had the room with everybody. We knew, obviously. And Nigel, who told me as a traitor, he said, I said, why did you never banish me? Why you never? He said, we just couldn't.
What? I think it was, who was it who said when they decided to put you on death row, they were like,
oh.
Why would we choose Paul? And they're like, because everyone would be like, why Paul?
Yes, they're like, what? What?
Hey, Michelle, the only way they could get rid of me, hey, love? The only way they could put me on death row. And poor Kate, she said after Paul, I shouldn't have chose you. I should have chose Craig. I said, no shit, Sherlock.
No. Yeah.
No, Alex would have won it. I reckon, Kate would have won it. Because I sussed right at the end. I'd sussed.
You were sus on Alex? Really?
Yeah.
The crying? Did the crying give it away?
Just before that death row, just because we were in the lounge and it was with, oh shit, I forgot the names now. There was Alex and...
Teresa.
Who? Teresa. So there's Teresa, Kate, Teresa, Alex... and Lewis, right? So we're talking, and then we're talking, then Lewis walked away, and then they were talking about Lewis, and I said, no, he's all right, because I didn't think he was a traitor. And I said, no, it's not. And then Alex said, I turned away, and Alex said to Teresa, oh, Paul thinks it's Lewis, like this. And I did. Right. And then Teresa legged off. She ran off into the other room. Paul said it's Lewis. And afterwards, they're also. I said, I didn't do anything of the sort. What are you on about? No chance. And I looked at her. I looked at Alex, and I went, "Ready, Michelle? Ding dong."
Ding dong.
Something's not clean in the buttermilk with Teresa. What? What do you think was going on with Matt and Teresa? Because they really didn't seem
Was Matt as psychosexually obsessed like, with Teresa he, like, as he
yeah,
seems?
I'm thinking, like, this man just wants to bone her.
Just that, because Matt was a good guy. He's a good lad. He was playing the game.
He didn't come across that to me as a viewer.
No, no.
As a good guy.
Editing, isn't it, that, eh? Fantastic, isn't it? It's a reality show. I know, I got on with him really well. I got on with him, Craig, Lewis. There's a few of them I got on with really well. I thought, I did vote for him at the end to get rid of him because I said, Matt, you're a knob. Just shut up. Get out. You just want...
He wasn't annoying.
I knew he wasn't a trap. I just said, look, you've gone too far. It's silly. You know, and I felt a bit sorry, but anyway.
Yeah, no, it's like, how many times can we just watch you yell at Teresa across the table?
Who, Matt?
And talk about real estate. Real estate up and down the Gold Coast. Shut up.
He does, yeah. He quite successfully just started his own business.
I know.
And he is a nice lad. I'll have to catch up with him. I'm caught up with him, actually. But no, I didn't think Teresa liked him too much, to tell you the truth. And Matt was, he didn't display any, let me think. You know, like, what do you call it? Psycho what?
Psychopath?
Sociopath. Psychosexual something or the
other. What do we say? A cluster B personality.
Cluster B personality. I like that one. I was like an Afghan.
It's what we're saying in a reality stars, Paul.
I know. I should really watch them. I've just been in them, darling. I've just been in them. I don't watch them. Oh, lovely darling. Come on, please.
Once you start watching it, you'll darling, then you'll see that there's a cluster B edit for sure that some people get. Yes. And they're the best ones.
Cluster B in writing that down.
A cluster B edit. Yes.
But it's like you do a lot on Vanderpump Rules, is it called?
Yes.
I had a quick squizzy at that. I had a quick look at it because I thought I've seen it all on podcasts and I thought, hey, hold on a minute. And looked, and that Lisa, she's English, isn't she? Married to Kevin.
She is. Laser. And so is her husband, Todd.
Yeah.
Ken Todd.
Well, I can tell you, 341,476,000 viewers, that he's not a footballer. If you Google him, he comes up as an ex-soccer player. He's not at all. That's another Ken Todd, that one.
I reckon
the nearest Ken Todd from Vanderpump Rules, I reckon the nearest he's got to be an athlete is putting his jocks on the treadmill, to tell you the truth.
While holding the dogs,
yes.
While Googling Paul McNeil, where was he? Who's Paul? But the
Who's Paul? Where's Paul?
Yeah, where's Paul? But that leads right. So we talk about iconic things, and got a really good job at marketing and what she does. I remember she had a house in Cheltenham in the UK, near.
Yeah.
She had, because they were in London. Well, years ago, they got married, I think, in London, and they lived in Cheltenham. They had a house there because Madonna was looking at a house for her, looking for a school for her daughter. Is it Lourdes? Girls' school. I think they had the house near there. But anyway, so how ironic is this? And you'll probably get loads of abuse for this, but you can always edit it out, darling.
No,
bring it on, baby.
I want the heat.
Oh, she's a celebrated animal lover. She's celebrated. She loves them. Yeah, she serves meat at a restaurant. Come on, what's the guts to go there? Go vegetarian.
Guys, you heard it here
you
first.
Heard it here first. She has cheeseburgers at Sir.
Oh, I love
Pump.
Do you want to? Oh, thanks very much. But then, she does a lot of equestrian as well. You know, the with the horses. And you've heard of people for, you know, ethical treatment. Cruel sport. So she's doing a cruel sport against animals, the celebrated animal lover.
Yeah? Oh, because she rides horses.
Yeah. So obviously they put a star on the Hollywood Boulevard for her, so a dog can have a wee on it, I think. But the other thing was...
One of her dogs, hopefully. Lisa, we love you.
Yeah.
She probably left her dog's wee as part of her star. Like, it's probably a paw print and the wee mark.
Wee baby wee on the star.
Wee baby wee.
Hollywood, it stinks of wee around. You go two streets back and it stinks of wee around the place. It's horrible.
Sorry. Have you been to Hollywood?
Yeah. You know the Chinese theatre along there? A street or two back, still just take a leak in the road. I don't know. It stinks of pee. But anyway, so I still love America, don't worry. But you know when she's got...
It doesn't just stink of pee. It also smells like bad wee.
That's right.
Lauren used to live there. She used to live on Lisa's star.
Hey, it could be. Yeah. It could be bad weed. That's a good point.
Yeah, it's legal there. It's legal there. Is weed legal in Australia?
Of course not. Absolutely not.
Really?
No. Really?
You can get it down over the board in New South Wales in Nimbin. You know, you've heard of Chris Hemsworth?
Yes.
Yeah, he lives down at Byron Bay. That's only a couple of hours from where we are here. And just out the back of there is Nimbin. That's where all the weed is.
So you heard it here first, guys. Chris Hemsworth, major pothead.
Yeah, he sells it.
No. I'm not saying he does it. I'm just saying he's in Nimbin. That's all. Yeah, but because that's what
I think everyone can read between the lines here. Cops, get him.
Yeah. Get him. Australian or his brother cops. Liam.
Yeah, and Liam. Oh yeah, he was with Miley Cyrus, wasn't he? Yeah.
Oh, he was.
Wrecking balls. Still wrecked, isn't she? Still whinging on about it. Yeah. Hey, but the other thing, right, about Lisa, like again, I love don't even know her actually, but she's English. Doing well in it. Oh, mm-hmm. That's good. But She promotes and supports LGBT, which is great, and I'm always a supporter of that because lots of friends. But she was married in the United Reformed Church of England in 1982, and for 29 years they were against same-sex marriage. So where you go? What's the goal there then?
Oh no, Lisa!
Oh my gosh! Well, burn it down, Paul. Take her down. Mention it all.
She famously was upset with Jax and Brittany, who were going to have a pastor who was anti-LGBTQ, and she gave them the business about it.
Hey,
so Lisa, you have some explaining to do.
Yeah, there you go. So
Lisa, you must get remarried by Lance Bass.
Yes. So the United Reformed Church, right?
Yes, you must have a gay man marry you.
Yeah, no, up until 2011 it was. I think they were sort of against same-sex marriage, and that was like for nearly 30 years, and they got married there, married in Church United for Reformed Church. So anyway, I just drawing that ironic side of reality TV, you know.
Oh yeah,
yes.
I mean, it's time for her empire to crumble.
It's time
and
for Lisa to answer well, for something.
Well, she named a daughter. Was it Pandora?
Pandora.
And you know. Mythology. You open the jar containing all manner of misery and evils to the world.
And if you've seen Pandora on Vanderpump Rules, you're not far off base.
No, I haven't. But that's the problem. I've not seen her. I don't watch it.
You're not missing much.
You're not missing her. She does not get a cluster B.
She's not a cluster B.
It's a cluster B for boring.
If I've learned anything today, it's cluster B edit. I love that one. Is it like...
Mac got the cluster B edit. I'm trying to think who else got a cluster B edit. Season
Chloe. Chloe, definitely.
Yes.
Chloe knew you were going to say that.
I know.
She knew it. Yeah. She was like, ears are burning. Seeing a cluster. It's cluster B.
The spirits are telling me it's a cluster B.
Not a cluster. Cluster B is, yeah. But the good. The cast that we had, they're all pretty much nice people. They were mostly down-to-earth, ordinary people, not from the telly. Not well, there's a few sort of wannabe actors.
Mm-hmm. No? Dirk. Mm-hmm. Was it Dirk?
Yeah.
And Sandra.
Like, he just threw us, and he's getting a lot of mileage on why Paul was not shown. Oh, because Paul is Paul that. I never even spoke to him. You know, when you want to get publicity, you say things, so.
Yeah, well, speaking of Dirk, he did mention, part of it was he was, like, making sure to clear your name because, like, you know, people speculate. A lot of times in America when people are cut out of reality TV, it's for being problematic. And Dirk was like, no, not our Paul. Yeah. He's a darling dear. Yeah. He's always so respectful. He was so funny. We loved him. But someone on the cast was problematic. Do you know who he was talking about?
Is that why Angus always looked like he was crying?
Yeah, Angus is a really nice guy, actually. He's a really good guy. He reminds me, if he had his beard off, he reminded people of someone else, but he looks like, you know,
Voldemort.
Yeah, he's the actor who plays Voldemort.
Oh, Ray Fiennes. He does look like Ray Fiennes.
Okay, yes.
Yeah. And I said to Angus, if you didn't have your beard, you'd be the most beautiful looking man. Because like Ralph Fiennes from...
And what did he say? Yeah. Was he like, I agree?
Because he's like a surfy. It's like, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, man.
There was one banishment that I saw you in, Paul, briefly. You were wearing a tie-dye hoodie and you were sitting next to Angus. And I texted Lauren and I was like, did Paul borrow this tie-dye hoodie from Angus? Because it just looked like one of his outfits.
No, it's mine. It was
mine. It was
yours. Those were very Anne in 2022 when you filmed. Yeah. So good fashion statement.
Just the wine.
I loved it.
Yeah, just the wine people up in it, you know. And then people talk about that and you look at their clothes, you go, you're joking, aren't you?
Wait, Paul, did you really have an Austin Powers costume that you wore in the hotel?
Why was that a rumor, was it?
Maybe.
Well,
it's a rumor in America. I don't know if it's a rumor in your country.
It's a rumor we're trying to get started in all 50 states.
Oh, behave, baby, yeah. I'll tell you what, that'll be in the book.
Oh.
Right.
I love this.
Very shagadelic one, though, wasn't it? Yeah.
Okay, Paul, but you were being naughty, baby, because you did kind of skirt the question. Was there anyone, who was in the cast who was a little bit of a...
problem.
A bad boy.
A real cluster B.
Hold on a minute. Sorry, I've just consulted my lawyer. He's acting for Trump at the moment, but he's doubling up with me. What do you say?
Oh.
Hey, nothing. Yes, that's what you say to Trump. Shut up. All right.
Paul, I really strongly consider you to reconsider your representation because this guy must be really expensive and busy.
Yeah.
He's on.
But this guy does know cluster B personalities. He's working with Trump.
Getting better now, Trumpy. Yeah. Poor old Trumpy, eh? Never mind. But I'm glad he's not over here, put it that way. but then again, you've got Biden, so it's like, you're stuffed, aren't you, really? Yeah, Trump and Biden.
I know. We're not having
Laugh it
either,
up,
Paul.
Mr. Australia. Laugh it up either. From 600,000 miles away.
I know, with 26 million people and no end. Yeah. But getting back to what you said, so there was a person who was, what were you saying? Not very nice, not very.
Problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Problematic.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking,
yes.
Any more discussion around that as to what? Oh, you're asking me, aren't you?
It's like, is there a person who kind of stands out in your mind that Dirk might have been talking about?
See, the only ones really who were we say problematic, like, I don't think who, they all seemed okay. Like, Matt was playing the game in that he'd be having a go at people, but that was the game, that was part of the game. It wasn't problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And they were all
I think it was someone who said something offensive.
All right. No, I don't know. Unless it was a way, yeah. I'm trying to think. Oh, there's a few offensive things said. There's a few.
Ooh, repeat them.
Yes.
I'm pleading the fifth on that one at the moment. You see that in the book, I'll tell you. Mm. A few, but they cut a lot of that stuff out. And some of the stuff maybe that's why I got edited, because I said, oh, you can't show that sort of thing. But I'm trying to think. No one really sticks out in my mind as in really offensive stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Was it banishment? Or was...
He didn't say where or anything.
Yeah. Unless he got away from it. Yeah, unless... If it comes to mind, if I have one of these moments where I think, oh, shit, yeah, that's right, I'll let you know. Because I'm just trying to think. Lots of people said sort of weirdly offensive things, but they were sort of mildly sort of in the scheme of things, you know. Nothing that sticks out like, I'm going to kill your mother or something like that, you know.
Oh, yeah. That would be extreme. Right. And then Chloe would be like, her mother is already dead.
Yeah, I know. I know, I shouldn't have said that. It was a bit funny. It was just funny thing. It's like mediums I'm not into, and it's just when they talk about it, anyway.
Mm. See, in America we have a Hollywood medium and we have a Long Island medium, and they're both very famous.
We love snake oil salesmen and con men in America, and we celebrate them.
And our reality shows have nothing but problematic people, and they don't edit that out.
No, but our second series, you spoke to Simone, but you'll notice, I mean, she's a world champion wrestler, which is good.
Mm-hmm.
She seems a nice girl, but they had actors in there, proper television.
Proper actors.
Guyton.
Yeah, like, yeah, who? Guyton.
Guyton.
Exactly.
He's
who?
Roger, so what's so there? Come on. Hey, come on, seriously. That just, and I knew then, I thought, I looked at I didn't watch the series, but I saw who was in it. I thought, nah, downhill for me. And then he canned the show. I wonder why, you know. But...
Well, I heard it's on just hiatus.
It's on pause.
Would you come back if they asked you to do third season when they get the budget again?
A third
Would
you come series, back? As you say in your country?
Absolutely not. Not here.
Really? No. You wouldn't do it if they promised to not edit you out so severely?
They could never.
They let you, what if they let you dress like Austin Powers for every banishment?
They could never handle me. Never. I'll tell you that much now, you know. But
edit.
Look, you go into a show, you're in there locked up in that. And people, and this is on a serious note, can I be serious for a minute?
Yeah, be serious. So we'll allow it.
Since, was it the 90s when that, what was that show? The precursor to Survivor. You know the Swedish one? It was something like Escaping Robinson or something like that. It was a Swedish one anyway.
Oh, yeah. It was based on like Robinson Crusoe, like Swiss Family Robinson.
The dad got kicked out. He committed suicide. He was a Serbian or Bosnian. You're only about 34. But because I looked up things and, you know, with the causality and consequences of reality shows. Now, it's been over 40 suicide-related deaths from reality shows worldwide. And not 40, that's 40. That's a lot, isn't it? I mean, that's dragging the show down a bit. But you can understand why everyone gets into it and they're so tense and they're so, you know, and then the trolls hit them when they get out. I mean, I've had loads of shit where they go, where were you? What are you doing? You were all there. And I just laugh. I go, because if you're innocent, you're like, I don't care. But I went in, I just thought, I'm going to enjoy it. I'm not going to be three or four. If I'm going to get through, I only thought I was going to get to the first day or two. I thought it was going to be gone. But I ended up every night. You go to bed, you think they're going to knock on the door, I'm going to get murdered. And you wake up, you go to breakfast, and you go, I made it, what happened there? And then someone gets back. You're going around the room, very tense when you go into the banishment room. It's very cold. They keep the temperature down so low, it's like going into a morgue, a crypt. So it gives you a sense of, oh, shit, this is...
The chills.
And when you survive, when you know you've got the numbers, you just go, yeah, baby, I'm through to the next day.
Yeah, baby. Paul, I have one more question about clothing. Did you get to keep the red tracksuits that they had you wear during the, oh my God, I'm blanking on what it's called. You know, the challenges. Did you get to keep those red tracksuits?
You've got a 50-50 chance. You can phone a friend or... What do you reckon?
I'll phone a friend. I'll phone Lauren.
Yeah, Lauren, what do you reckon?
Okay, wait. I saw the answer to this on Paul's Instagram, but I'm trying to think. I think he did get to keep them.
You did get to keep them.
Are you ready? And this isn't being vulgar. Ding dong.
Oh, damn it.
Lauren, I have got it.
Oh, correct. Oh.
Yay.
Yay. So that's awesome.
Another thing that I haven't said. So I'm a large, as in large size lady, as in clothing, right? And give me an extra large. So it looked like it was fat. If you look at me in the tracksuit, it looks like it's like frumpy. And then I got, and they clean it and take it away and come back. And then I got an XXL back. I went, this isn't mine. It had Paul on it. And I said, there's only one Paul in it. And I thought, why have I got an XL and an XXL, whatever it was. So when I look back on it, I look at the pictures and I go, shit, I look fat in that. Oh, that's because it was one size over. That's why.
Well, Paul, I think that you looked
great. Amazing.
In fact, me and my fiance, when we watched it, and then also when we watched it again with my stepson, that was like our favorite part of the whole show was whenever we could see you from behind or like see part of your head or hear something from you, we would go, Paul,
there's Paul. It was so fun. And I would text Lauren every time I would be like, I think I just saw Paul. Brilliant. She always told me I had to look out for you.
Yeah, brilliant. That's showbiz, isn't it? That, you get away from all the crap and all the other stuff. And that's funny. That's really good, that. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much for coming. Honestly, like, I don't think I've told you this, but like, I got into the Traders because I was really depressed and they kind of like hiked up my antidepressants too high. And I was like a mess.
Personality, Paul.
I can attest to this. I couldn't feel any joy. And then my fiance showed me this TikTok about the mystery of Paul. This guy is edited out of the show. It's this huge mystery. And I was like, I'd only seen part of US, so I was like, I don't want to watch The Traitors. But then after I saw the TikTok, I was like, I have to see this mystery. And it got me so into The Traitors, it got me through the depression. And because of this, you're my favorite Traitors player ever. And it was such a pleasure having you.
She has literally been talking about you for an entire year. I cannot believe that you're getting to talk to him.
This is my dream.
I'm so happy for Lauren.
Hey, but Lauren, that, you know what? Mm-hmm. There's somebody in the UK, they have what is called, I think you know about this, but they have, you know, the Edinburgh Fringe Festival.
Yes, right. Yes.
But they've got the one in Camden, London, right? They have the Camden mm-hmm. Fringe Festival in August. It's similar in North London. And there's a guy doing a play, a funny noir, whatever they call it, you know, a black comedy thing. And you know what it's called?
The Mystery of Paul, right?
No, The Strange Affair of Paul.
The Strange Affair of Paul, even better.
It's about me. Seriously.
That's incredible. That's going to be amazing. Yeah. Everybody, if you are in Camden, then go in August. Please go see The Strange Affair of Paul. It's going to be a barn burner.
They're wearing a tracksuit and also Austin Powers costume.
Absolutely.
And a trench coat. Do you have anything else you want to promote? Do you want people to follow you on socials or do you want them to leave you alone?
No, they can follow. But I was on public and then I went private.
Oh.
Yeah. So I'm not one of the, I'm not really a,
not an influencer.
Say, but because I've got some crazies, you see.
Yeah.
Stop that. But,
crazier than us?
No, not that crazy. That's impossible. That's a physical impossibility. Death, taxes, and YouTube. Gee, I'll tell you what. I love you. You put my Instagram, Paulie McPaulie. I think that's what it's called. Mm-hmm. Paulie McPaulie on Instagram if you want to see some pictures of oversized tracksuits and things.
Awesome. Okay, wait, I have one more question. So you've left a few like cryptic kind of clues on your Instagram where you kind of allude to a bigger mystery. Are you just kind of messing with people's minds who like conspiracy theories, or is there something of deep mystery underneath afoot?
No comment.
Oh,
and please the fifth, folks. He just has
a comment. I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
To be continued.
Great.
Yes, you'll have to come back. You'll have to watch a reality TV show and then come back as a guest just to give your opinion once you get in on it.
We would love you to watch Vanderpump Rules or even The Valley that just started. I think you'll know exactly what we mean by cluster B personalities.
The Valley. What was that one? The Valley.
It's a spin-off of Vanderpump Rules. It's all of the kids that were on Vanderpump Rules, but now they're adults living in the Valley outside of LA, and they have kids and wives and are all getting divorced.
Oh, that sounds about right, doesn't it? Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah, Hollywood baby. Yeah.
Is Lisa on as well, Lisa and Ken?
Oh, thank God they're not.
No, yeah.
No, just one of the Vanderpump Rules ones just for a laugh, just to face my fears.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. If you can get through season 11, then not only should you be on the podcast talking about it, we will also send you a trophy because it is brutal.
It is brutal. But season 2 of Vanderpump Rules, the greatest show that has ever been.
Season 2.
After Traitors, season 1, Australia.
Oh, thanks. But season 2, you reckon? Season 2.
Oh, it's my favorite.
Yes, it's amazing TV.
Yeah.
11, is that the current one or something? Season 11.
Season 11 is the current one, and they're it's winding down. The Valley is more where it's at. Plus, it's like middle-aged men, like our husband and fiance, are really into the Valley too, because they're like, oh, these guys are sad about their lives, like us.
And I'm like, what? So. They're like, they don't like their wives or their children. And Lauren and I are like, what? What do you mean?
What?
What are you saying?
Married to you too. Come on.
Oh, Paul, you're too sweet. Yeah. Okay, so before we go, I just want to get one more impression from you. Can you give us one more line of your Austin Powers impression?
Ooh, what, Austin Powers? Or okay, let me think. Oh, no doubt, love. But as long as people are still having promiscuous sex with many anonymous partners without protection, while at the same time experimenting with mind-expanding drugs in a consequence-free environment, I'll be sound as a pound.
I loved it.
Ding dong. Ding dong. That was amazing.
Yes.
Mind-altering drugs. It sounds like The Valley.
Yes.
Yes. Thanks so much, Paul.
Love your work. Love you all. 341,476,050 now, because I think there's
all 50 states.
There's one person born every 9 seconds in America, and a person dies every 10 seconds, I think. So there you go. There's your facts for the day.
Wow. Wow, very full circle. And Chloe, if you'll say hi to both the birds and the dead ones for us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chloe. Thank you, Paul.
We love you, Paul.
That'd be a good laugh. Oh, come on.
I'll see that. Behave.
Behave.
Yeah.
All right.
Follow us at Bravo_breakdowns on Instagram and TikTok. Definitely check out our TikTok. Email us if you want an oral exam read on the air, bravobreakdowns@gmail.com. And keep listening for all of our Traders coverage, real guests, real contestants, real famous people coming up. Stick with us. Stay faithful. I'm Lauren.
And I'm Michelle.
Good night, everybody.
Bye.
These girls are having a breakdown. Bravo breakdowns. These girls are going insane now. Bravo.